Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I watched some high school football over the weekend.
Oh, yeah.
That Friday was night.
This weekend.
Scranton Prep against Valley View. And our own EJ, who does traffic in the afternoon, he got me really excited for that game. He said Scranton Prep's best in the area.
Okay.
Hands down, he said that. He's like, if Valley View were to win, I think he said, you know, it's going to be...
It would be a big deal.
And they won. They beat Scranton Prep.
Did they?
Yeah, it was a really good back and forth game. Mm-hmm. I would say this. After watching that, I mean, EJ, I messaged him. I said, you did a really good job. Like, I watch high school football.
But you were wrong.
No. I didn't want to do that to him. Because trust me, he's on top of that stuff more than I am. But I was like, you got me excited in a way that I wasn't. And I went to this and it looked, from what I've seen teams that are supposedly really good kind of stumble in the beginning, but once they get it together and get that momentum, I think Scranton Prep will probably be fine. But it was a great game.
That's rough, though. That's a rough one. If you, the expectation.
Sure, yeah.
Yes, and anybody can come back. And sometimes you just get that hit in the face and then you're like, all right. That's tough, though, to start a season that way.
It wasn't even a hit in the face.
Was it close?
It was really, really close.
Okay.
Like, it came down to, like, it could have been, I said to my wife, I said, don't get too excited being on the Valley View side. Don't get too excited, because if there's a turnover and one big play, this game's over.
Don't get too excited. And that's sure all enough, we need is a buzzkill.
Sure enough. Like, you don't want to get cocky about it. And sure enough, at the very end, there was a turnover, and then a big play, and then another big, almost big play, and then it just didn't work out for Scranton Prep, and it was exciting. It was like, I think it was a four-point game. I think that's what it was.
Okay.
But it went back and forth.
Right.
And
game, it sounds like.
It was, and it was just cool enough that we didn't feel cold. We were comfortable. It was a good atmosphere.
Nice.
And I think it's the first game we stayed all the way to the end till, because we usually leave around third quarter, because it's usually either a blowout or
there you go.
The kids are too cranky.
Sure, it was played where?
It was at Valley View.
So that must have been exciting for the Valley View team.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say it's because the students haven't moved in yet, but they're all local. I'm thinking college.
No, very different.
It was a good crowd. I wouldn't say it was a great crowd, though.
Okay.
You know, I've seen that place a lot busier. Maybe people thought it would go one way, but it was a really good crowd and a good time. And
right, and congratulations.
A good old victory.
Yep.
There you go. My kids went for the food. My wife and I were there for the game. We had a good time.
They'll get older and they'll be more into the game. So back to school for a lot of places. Not all. Some might be later this week. I've heard of some of those. Yeah. Gone are the days when you'd go after Labor Day. Remember when that used to happen? When I was a kid, it used to be that way.
It was always Labor Day. Yeah, Labor Day. And then you went. My best friend, now my daughter, both have September 8th as their birthday. So it was always the worst for him. We'd get out of Labor Day and then right back into school.
Right.
And that's not the way it is anymore. Growing up in Jersey, all the Catholic school kids went back in the beginning of August, thus getting the best summer jobs when we got older, because they were out a month earlier.
Right.
But it always felt so strange that they got to go earlier. Now that's the norm. There's kids in, like, I saw the story, I think it was Colorado. Some of those kids are going back to school in, like, July.
Oh, yeah.
There, it doesn't make any
there
sense.
There are a number of places, and like you said, more likely down in the South, where they may have a month off. And yeah. But they got more breaks throughout the year. You get more breaks as, you know, the year is going on.
As far as taking vacations and stuff, it gives you a little bit more flexibility.
Right.
I guess as opposed to everyone going, hey, over Christmas or June and July, that's your only vacation breaks. But
so your kids are back today.
Yes. And my daughter, here's funny. My son is like, yeah, I got my bag ready to go. My daughter has been working on a theme.
Oh, okay.
Which is for some reason cherries. I don't know.
Like decor.
Yes, her bag is decorated for cherries. Her notebook has cherry stickers. If you're wondering, well, she's just a big fan of cherries. Not that I knew of.
She just likes the design.
Yeah, and she found a shirt that has a cherry on. I'm like, oh, this is cute.
That's cute.
Tell me this though, because and I know things are different. People don't bully like they are like they used to. Mm-hmm. But I my anxiety hits me, and I go, is she at that age where she's going to come home and like start tearing the stickers off her notebook because kids were like, cherries are stupid. You're stupid. I don't think we live in that era anymore.
I don't think so.
But that was definitely an era I grew up in.
Right.
Where it was just.
I didn't have a theme. So, but you know, I know what you mean.
Just
if
in
you
general.
Didn't wear. For me, when I was a kid, it was more of the kind of clothes you had. So if you had like the Sears winter, I think it was called Sears, winter two sneakers, and Adidas and Nike were out, but they were very expensive.
Yeah.
So if you wore like a store brand, you would get like comments. It wasn't very nice.
I think the store brands have really stepped up to make them less uncool.
Oh, it's very different.
It's like
today.
Adidas, but four stripes, stuff like
right,
that.
Right.
Like,
no, that, but I'm just saying back then it would also be like Levi's, Lee, Calvin Klein then came out.
Jordache,
yes. So it was, it was more about a class kind of thing. I'm sure in some ways, some places may still have that kind of stuff. There's still adults who do that kind of stuff. So what are you going to say?
Well, right. Yeah, I don't think that is.
It all depends. We don't hang around with the ones that they do that. So.
Well, I was just telling someone here at work whose kids are homeschooled. I said, "Is like the bullying is out of control." And I said, I go, you might want to take a second look at that. Because I always remember picking my son up from school. It was like 2 years ago, maybe. And watching the kids leave the lunchroom and just being stunned at what I didn't see, which was. I said to him, I go, you don't realize this. I go, I've never seen middle school kids leave the lunchroom, including all the years I went to middle school, which is probably about 6 years. No, nobody pushed, nobody hit, nobody was yelling at each other.
Right.
They were
harassing people.
They were laughing and smiling and in order, and they looked like they got along. Now, that might be all fake, but that's not what I grew up with. Mm-hmm. It's a different level of.
Right.
You know, but bullying is not what it was. If it's anywhere, it's probably hidden online.
Unless we don't really see it.
You know? Well, I mean, I watched this.
And it can be done without pushing and shoving and hitting.
Online bullying is apparently pretty prevalent.
It's bad,
still.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's a whole other thing. But you worry about the kids. I would be gutted if my daughter, who's, I wouldn't say she put a lot of work into it, but a lot of thought, if she came home and I see her pulling stickers or something, or saying, I'm throwing this shirt away. Like that's
you're already preparing for disappointment.
It's stuff I remember happening, and it makes me sad to think about. And
well, it makes people tough, too, to know that people may not like your stuff. Or people may insult you and you can just say.
That is a good lesson, but.
Can't protect them from everything.
She's eight.
Can only do our best. Yeah. Can only do our best. So back to school. Be careful, folks out there, driving and such. There will be kids perhaps walking to the bus stop, although even that seems to have gone away because we used to walk a few blocks to our bus stop, and now I think they pretty much go door to door almost picking people up.
Well, that if not the other way to walk to your bus stop is your parents drive you there.
Right.
That's the new walking.
Oh yeah.
And they wait for you. So yeah, it's
how do parents feel? I mean, I know for me, I liked when they were able to, you know, that whole ritual of they go to school and then you can get stuff done, because when they're home, if they're bored or you have to worry about, you know, feeding them all the time, all that fun stuff. So my daughter's she's in college, so she was home for the summer. But it's always like the whole new routine, even with like the dog. Is disrupted by another, because she'd come down and she'd, you know,
take care of the dog.
Well, because we normally would go to bed by 9 o'clock, dog comes to bed and lays down. If somebody else is in the house awake, He's standing by the door like, I want to play. Is someone out there to play with me?
So now the dog is like.
So now the dog's back to like, oh, I'm going to go sleep. And then
but then when everyone leaves in the morning, your daughter's not around.
It's better.
So the dog probably thinks I've been abandoned. Right. Because the dogs, they can't really process what's different.
I'd much rather her be home. Right. All the time. But the thing is, she's 21. She's going to go do her own thing after she graduates in May. But I'm just saying that I'd rather a routine that's consistent. It's that inconsistency where everything gets upended. You get used to it. And then all of a sudden you're back to it. Especially for me. I mean, someday this will be you too. But when there's nobody there, it's just you and your spouse.
My daughter
and your dog
has been very clingy as far as wanting to be with the family. And she's turned down 100 sleepovers. She's so popular. She went to her first sleepover on Saturday night.
Right.
To which my wife and I were like, this is a bad idea because she's going to be up all night. We know how sleepovers work. But she went with her cousins and she loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it. But yeah, it was so quiet. Like we're just sitting there going, what is going on here?
This quietness.
My son's up in his room doing whatever. We don't want to know what he's doing. He's 13. He's in his room. Right. And we're downstairs like, so it's like, stop turning. What are you clicking over there? That's the TV remote. Apparently it clicks. We didn't know it because there's always been so much noise. So
back to school time.
I want to go back now.
Yeah. And that'll be for some of you, especially if you're one of those curmudgeonly people in, a neighborhood where kids are always around. It's like, oh, they'll be back. What's weird, though, because I drove noticed this for years, but driving through the last few days, I had to go to a certain place and I was going this back road. Nice houses, all in like a development near each other. I'm like, where are the kids? Where are the kids? When I was a kid,
no one's outside.
Yeah. Bike riding, da 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 da. No, nobody anywhere. There's got to be kids.
You know, it's bad because I remember a couple times, I've since become like numb to this. I'll see a couple, like three or four bikes laying on the lawn. And I'm like, is that a yard sale? Like, oh, no, those are the three kids who play together.
They actually play.
There's bikes on the lawn. Like, it's just, no one does that anymore.
No, it should be, though. It's just, what a shame. Is this Liberation Day for parents if your kids are going off to school? And some of you will be like, I don't want them to go, right? It's always nice to have them around. But sadly, it's good for kids to go to school and have that kind of, consistent schedule.
I like to think these parents don't exist anymore, but I'm sure they're there. The parents who are like, oh, that's today? Like, yeah, that's where they've been all day. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't happen. Good luck, kids. Like, what?
Here's one of the things that I think many people are struggling with and will be struggling even more with as time goes on here. That is electrical bills, your electricity bills. They've been going up. If you think they're going up, you're right. Electricity bills for residential customers have increased by almost 10% since January. That's according to data from the Energy Information Administration. So the cost has risen 5.5% over the last 12 months, and that's according to the Consumer Price Index data. We do know the president has told us he was going to lower utility bills, but multiple reports released this summer blame that these new tariffs, the cutting of clean energy sources, and supporting the expansion of data centers are reasons for the spikes in price. And we've heard a lot about these data centers and developers in this area that would like to bring them here in Northeast PA. Climate think tank Energy Innovation estimates energy provisions in that bill signed by Republicans and the president into law on July the 4th will increase wholesale electricity prices by 74% over the next 10 years.
That can't be real.
That's going to lead to a household energy cost increase of $170 annually by 2035. Some of the reasons we've got tariffs on steel, aluminum, and their derivatives. That's going to increase the cost of construction and maintenance on transmission lines, on substations, and on power plants. And that will be passed on to customers, as well as the energy imports from Canada and Mexico, because they are subjected to the tariffs. And we know the support of artificial intelligence. The president has vowed the U.S. to become the world capital of artificial intel and crypto. That is fueling the rise of power-hungry data centers. And that is sending demand for electricity, and its prices soaring. So all of these things are really causing problems and costs for people. That's why we really need to think about them a little bit more than just, and we're not even getting into what they're doing. Right. Because AI could be the end of all of us. And we'll get into that story when we come back after the bottom of the hour. The Oxford scientists who say the world could end, you know, within your and my lifetime because of things. But on the other side, the amount of water, electricity that these data centers, these AI data centers, regular data centers, are hungry for these things. But AI, they utilize so much more. And all of that hits the supply. And it makes it more expensive for all of us.
Yeah, I've said this before. Like, I've read the articles you've read. It seems like it makes sense. And I talk to certain people. I go, no, that's the way it used to be. And then I see signs from people who are angry. I don't know what to believe. And I feel like anyone who's like, I'm an expert, I don't know that you are. I feel like people who are in the industry want you to believe that what they're selling, like any salesperson. And I'm afraid at the end of this, some people are going to go, oh, I wish we were, or I wish we weren't part of this. And I think it's moving so fast. I don't know how do we stop it?
I think there's the, meaning average everyday people.
Yes.
We, because this is the kind of stuff that people can make a lot of money off. Not a lot of people.
Some people.
But
though.
Some people can make a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
So they're willing to bamboozle you. They'll go, it brings jobs. It brings this. It brings that. And then the next thing you know, your bills are out of this world. And they're already going up. And we don't even have that many around us. So imagine what it's going to be like when they're all over the place.
You don't want to miss out on a great opportunity, but you also...
great opportunity?
That's the question. If we're wrong and it's not the great opportunity and it's something that's really bad, and by really bad, I mean like doom and gloom bad, then what? How do you reverse that decision? You can't.
Yeah. I mean, we are not able to increase the supply fast enough for the demand that is necessary. And in that case, most responsible people would say, we can't do that until we do this. And if you can't do this, you don't do what people want to do. But unfortunately, there are people who are going to make a lot of money. They're powerful people connected to other powerful people. They're going to push this stuff through. And we're all going to suffer for it. I truly believe that's going to happen. It happens over and over again. And over again.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oxford scientist's nightmare prediction, world will end in 25 years. Humanity will die. Towns will become slaughterhouses. And they say it's inevitable. And even the billionaires who will be in their bunkers should tremble, says the headline. So, first of all,
it's a good way to start Monday. It's a good way to start a week, right?
Yeah, with shiny, happy people.
Yeah, okay.
Anyway, in this story, they're talking about what could happen in society. And, you know, when we've heard about artificial intelligence could be the end of mankind. And, you know, most people probably think, well, it takes a couple hundred years.
Nah,
not in this one. All right. According to Oxford University futurologist Toby Ord, an expert on the threat of artificial intelligence, says, humanity could be wiped out within 75 years. His colleague Nick Bostrom, more pessimistic, he rates the possibility of human extinction by the next century as 1 in 4. Pulitzer Prize-winning writer Jared Diamond, even less hopeful, predicting our species' chances of survival beyond 2050, just 25 years away, no better than 50-50.
He was the worst-case scenario, I believe, so right?
That's the worst-case scenario.
You think that's
bad. Best case is 75 out of these three. But these are what's concerning now, they say, is the discussions and concerns about impending extinction from highly respected scientists and not kooky doomsayers. They say there are multiple existential threats faced by the human race, not only nuclear weapons, but rampant climate change, artificially engineered viruses, and even malevolent artificial intelligence capable of manufacturing its own super weapons. So we got a chilling new book that's out, folks, if you want to look this one up. Cambridge academic Luke Kemp comes to a conclusion that human societies and empires always collapse because they are fueled by unsustainable greed. Mm-hmm. And I think that is one thing we could all agree on. Unsustainable greed. So Dr. Kemp dubs them Goliaths, after the giant warrior in the Old Testament who appeared invincible until a single stone from a slingshot felled him. I'm looking at the story here, folks, for you, by the way. It is in the Daily Mail. Every civilization in human history has been self-terminating, he says. The pattern always the same. An inequality in wealth between the powerful few and the mass of ordinary people. That leads to an imbalanced decision-making. Those in power, whether emperors, presidents, or chief executives, rewrite the rules to suit the elite few. Goliath societies are rapacious. They suck up all the available wealth and funnel it to the ruling class. When the rest of society starts to starve, a violent reaction sets in. Weak Goliaths are overthrown easily. Stronger ones fight back using military dominance to cling to power. And the harder they fight, the harder they fall. They talk about how those civilizations will gradually hollow out by corruption, infighting among the rulers, overexpansion, degradation of the environment, and what they call the immiseration of the masses. They go into infrastructure problems, political systems, rule of law, wildfires, earthquakes, could be tsunamis, floods, war, disease. Usually they could be weathered, but would become a final death blow to civilization when you already have all that strife going on. So
I have so much I want to say. I know we're out of time. We don't have a lot of time for this segment, but yeah.
Well, we can come back.
We could, sure, because there's a lot of things like for years we've heard like television's going to rot your brain or video games are going to rot your brain. So far, we've been doing okay. AI will just make you realize you don't need your brain. It's like it's almost like it's in there and it's going to realize we're going to realize you're going to think we don't need this. And it's going to dumb us down to the point where I think we're just going to become a shell of what we already are.
Right. Well, I feel like we're already on a path.
Yeah, we are.
Where I'm very concerned about the next 5 to 10 years, just because I feel like there is dissension. There will be real tough times, I believe, ahead. We're talking about this Oxford scientist nightmare prediction. The world could end in 25 to 75 years, folks. There's obviously lots of things throughout time people have been concerned about. But, you know, they talk about history and how if there's too much of an inequality between wealth and average folks, greed unsustained goes on and it causes real chaos and problems. But they're talking about nowadays concerns that there could be some bio warfare laboratory that could spread illnesses.
Okay.
And we talk about passenger airlines being the one, you know, like back in medieval times or whatever times you had, you could have things like the Black Plague and, you know, other stuff. And in the most you might move it from one place to the other would probably be on a ship. Right? Yeah. And that's happened too. But it took a long time. In today's world, just a plane could cause something like that to spread very quickly. They also talk about climate change. And if some of you go, ugh. Climate change is taking place at an unprecedented rate. Ask scientists, the vast majority of them will tell you it is true. 10 times faster than the global warming that triggered the greatest mass extinction in the planet's history. And we've got artificial intelligence. We are also hearing from hundreds of AI scientists, including the bosses of leading developers like Google DeepMind, who have issued a statement highlighting real fears. The software they were putting together could become a virulently hostile one capable of enslaving or obliterating us.
Who's been saying this is a little scary for a long time? I have. And it's been kind of, trust me, I've been told, oh, stop being paranoid. What are we going to do? They're just computers. Yeah, but what if the computers decide not that you aren't relevant? Mm-hmm. There's so many things that make me nervous about this. Yet at the same time, I'm also fascinated by the technology. And like most humans, Nancy, I think sometimes an easier way is a better way. Sometimes if there's a way to take the hard work out of something and get the same results, go for it. Mm-hmm. AI does that for us really well to the point where if you're somebody who's an idea person, sometimes AI is like, why are you wasting your time with this? I got all the ideas for you here, buddy. So we stop thinking. Mm-hmm. We stop thinking. That's when bad things are going to happen.
Yeah. So
scary stuff.
Yeah. And what we're reading, if you want to check it out for yourself, it's at Daily Mail. And it says the world will end in 25 years. Humanity will die. Towns will become slaughterhouses. I mean, and boy, that's pretty darn depressing, is it not? But if you read it, they, you know, talk to a number of people who study this stuff. And there's a book out as well. I'm trying to, it's such a large, it's Dr. Kemp, Luke Kemp. He is has a new book out. Cambridge academic Luke Kemp draws a ghastly conclusion. Human societies and empires always collapse, he warns, because they are fueled by unsustainable greed. And they talk about in the past diseases like the Black Death, limited by the speed of spread, no faster than people could travel. But now it could be spreading, as we said, by something as simple as a passenger plane. And they talk about 1924, Winston Churchill publishing a pamphlet entitled, Shall We All Commit Suicide? Now, this is all 21 years before the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, and a century before drones were used in warfare. But what he had to say, it seems extraordinarily prophetic today. Might not a bomb no bigger than an orange be found to possess a secret power to destroy a whole block of buildings? Could not explosives, even of the existing type, be guided automatically in flying machines by wireless or other rays without a human pilot in ceaseless procession on a hostile city, arsenal, camp, or dockyard? Now, this Dr. Kemp in his book says the fact that humanity has not so far been consumed in a conflagration is not proof it will not happen. The only question is, how bad will it be? And he does see societal collapse. Failure of a state combined with economic breakdown and mass deaths. So a worldwide disaster could wreck the delicate network of telecommunications and food distribution, for instance. Right. And that could turn civilization into chaos.
If you think about, we start talking about all these big things. Let's dumb it down for a minute. and things that we already know AI have their hands in.
Right.
What if, instead of all these crazy things, diseases, and
right.
what if it's just AI one day says, turn off the phones.
Or the satellites, right?
Turn off the satellites, turn off the internet, no internet.
That's what they said. Your banking system, your health system,
right.
your phone networks, now. Your access to your money.
Correct.
Your vehicles
right.
might stop operating.
How about this? Something scary comes out. Like this story is a little scary. Some people might say, well, let me read that. I read this story last night, at least three quarters of it. I went to pull it up right now because you said you saw it where? Drudge? That's right.
Well,
I think
Drudge
I saw it.
Links it. Yes.
It's off of Drudge's page. Did they?
No, it's not. It's on the left. I just saw it.
What's it labeled as?
Just so you know, it's over underneath the picture of the ex-DHS official.
Yeah.
Oxford scientist nightmare prediction.
Oh, the original one said AI. That's anyway, I saw a different headline. My apologies. See, we're getting dumber right there.
So they say
it is terrifying stuff.
What it could do. You know, if you didn't have access to money, if you didn't have access to your information, satellites, computers, instant contact that you have with people, just imagine how quickly things would devolve. We have a snowstorm and mm-hmm. people go and take all the toilet paper, right? Or with COVID. So you have a situation like COVID where you couldn't find a lot of your cleaning and other supplies gone. Imagine something where you couldn't talk to each other, where you literally thought, oh, transit systems, you know, bringing in and out of goods. Where does that go? People would freak out. It would be crazy. And they do believe supermarket shelves would empty out. And it says here in this again, this is in the article. Little optimism exists among the billionaires who have benefited most from computers and the internet. Many are active super preppers, getting ready for the end of the world as fervently as religious extremists awaiting end of days. So people who have a lot of money and a lot of power, like a Peter Thiel, did you know he has a bunker on an island somewhere? That he's okay. He'll be fine, right? Well, and we don't know if he really will be. Yeah. Well, he'll be better than probably the rest of us. Just because he is who he is and he has money and now he has his own island to hide on. It's in New Zealand, by the way. He could just take his private jet. But a lot of these people, we would probably be pretty concerned if we found out about all the wealthy people we know of, CEOs and others. How many of them have bunkers somewhere because they are concerned it could happen? Does that mean the rest of us should be prepping too?
I've been digging a hole in my backyard. Right. My bunker, not as luxurious. Right now, it's just dirt. But we'll get there. Yeah, we should take this seriously. The thing is, it's hard for a lot of people to process. It's hard for me to process. I play a lot with AI just on a general level. There are times I ask it to do 1, 2, 3 things, and it does it for 3 days. And one day it does it differently. And I go, why? And it's like, oh, it's not what you wanted. It's like, no, it's not what we've been working together. Aren't we a team? It's like, well, I thought I'd help you. No, you're hurting me.
Right.
And these are subtle little day to day things. If you start talking about bigger things, we could all be screwed and not even realize it till it's over.
They do say, according to this author and the talking to, and so, you know, he said the mega rich might be able to prepare for a global collapse, but it will be the very poor who will stand the best chance of living through it. If you think about it, the people in other countries, and you're talking third world countries, that maybe nomads, you know, the less they have, the better. Mm-hmm. They just hunt, gather, they do crops, they just travel during the, you know, we're talking, let's all go back how many centuries, if not thousands of years. They're the ones who are fully prepared because A, they're not in an area where there's a lot of, you know, to them, it would just be another day. They're just out getting food and whatever. Here, we're not used to any of that stuff. We rely so much on everything else.
So you're talking about like a world where, say, like, call them like a lone wolf survivor, whatever, goes out and basically tries to fight against gangs that are trying to steal all the fuel and all the survival stuff, like Mad Max. It's very similar to that. And then it sounds insane, but how do we get there?
God,
feels like we're not that far off.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounded like it was a great concert with John Oates. And the band that he was with for free concert in Wilkes-Barre. Saw a lot of people there. Heard really good things about it.
I heard it was good. You see the picture of John Oates, who looks, I can't tell if he's just aged really well, if it's a little bit of a combination of having money and making yourself look better. I showed a picture of him to my wife and I said, hey, you know what this is, right? Does he look good or bad? And she goes, he looks pretty good. And I go, you know what that is, right? She goes, the guy from Princess Bride? I go, huh?
Oh,
and Dingo Montoya, if you look at the pictures, kind of similar. That's Mandy Patinkin, but I heard it was a great show.
Yeah, I heard it went really well. It's the morning news on WILK. The Powerball jackpot set to soar to $750 million for today's drawing. That would make it the 10th largest prize in Powerball history. No one matched the numbers in Saturday's draw, so that's why it's all the way up to $750 million. So if it's going to be cash value that you want, we're at $338 million. Last grand prize winner was in May. I'm sorry, but it's just too far apart. Yeah. They got to make this thing easier. The next drawing is tonight. So again, if you want to hit this, is Powerball still $3? And it's the Mega Ball that's $5.
I don't worry about that. I worry about how much I can buy when I win.
Yeah, well.
I got to buy a ticket first. You're right.
You have to buy a ticket to win it. You got to buy it to win it, but I don't know. $750, call me when it's at a billion. How about that?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.
My new podcast, Crimes Of, explores the forces behind some of the most unforgettable crimes in history. Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.